Good morning again. I want to welcome you. And we are, if you were here last week, we're talking about heaven. We're in week two of a two-week series about heaven, which is really once the world fell and we became separated from God by our sin, the purpose of all of history became for God to see his created children, you and I, get home to heaven. What we're doing as a church is all about heaven. Once I decided to live my life for Jesus, it became about me getting there and trying to help lead other people there, not because I'm a pastor, but just because I'm a believer. And for some of you, we may never again connect before you go home or I go home or Jesus returns. But that being said, we'll have forever in heaven if we put our faith in Christ. And so I don't think we talk about heaven enough. We're going to spend the next few minutes. Actually, first service of the sermon was about 15 minutes. So I'm going to give you something to remember me by. And you can say, boy, I loved Micah and his short sermons. And so I'm going to leave you with that. But it's very important to talk about heaven. And it's very important that we remember that the Bible tells us that is our home. This is not our home. This earth is not our home. This life is not how things are meant to be, even when we live in the abundance of walking with Jesus. There is better ahead for us. Colossians 3, I'm going to recap last week. We reminded us last week, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It is so important for us to do that. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And nothing you've ever experienced on earth, not the best moments of your life, the birth of your children, even great things like that, can hold a candle to what heaven will be like. But I don't think we think about heaven enough for a variety of reasons. And so last week, we gave three reasons of why we should think about heaven more. Number one, thinking about heaven reduces our attraction to this world. This world is temporary. And if our focus is so much on this life and our career and our stuff here and the good and the bad, the hurts, the great things, that'll keep our mind and our focus. And I believe the enemy of our souls wants us just so focused on this life. But God tells us to keep our mind on things above. Thinking about heaven gives us permanent hope and peace regardless of what happens in our life. And number three, thinking about heaven satisfies our desire for something more. You guys know this isn't it. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And so the Bible says to set our mind on things above. And I believe Scripture tells us this because setting our mind on this world will ultimately disappoint us every time. Today we're going to talk about heaven. And today we're going to talk about, and this is from Scripture, but this is my take. Because guys, first of all, our minds can't comprehend it. The Bible calls it, it's inexpressible what heaven will be like. We can't begin to imagine. But I also believe that God doesn't tell us explicitly what everything about heaven will be like. Because if that were the case, that's all we'd think about. We wouldn't even be able to focus on life. We'd begin to think heaven is going to be so phenomenal that that's all we would think about. And so today we're going to talk about a couple things. It's kind of my take because, as I said first service, you know, heaven doesn't have a YouTube channel and God doesn't have a Snapchat. So you can't get pictures of what's going on in heaven right now. We don't have pictures of this, what is what heaven's going to look like or be like. But in the Bible, Paul says that he got a glimpse of heaven and he said it's inexpressible. Don't even try because there really aren't any words. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul wrote, he said, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. And if we're here this morning, we're like, we'd rather be dead? That's a flesh way of thinking. A spiritual way of thinking is that this world is broken. These bodies are temporary. We have a sin nature in this fallen world. We all do, even Christians, that we have to fight against. But we know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us to help us overcome that sin and ultimately, praise God, overcome death and go to heaven. So, we as people have an imagination. So let's use our imagination today and talk about heaven. I have five things about heaven I think are important for us to kind of talk about. And it's great if you're taking notes because maybe in hard times, I hope these past 2 weeks, you can go to God's Word, you can talk about heaven and think, oh, it's going to be so wonderful. This isn't really that big of a deal what I'm going through right now. God will work it for good. It's a light and momentary affliction, the Bible calls it, that's working for us an eternal weight of glory. This life is all about us getting to heaven. Number one, when you think of heaven, you should imagine relief and healing. See, there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more diseases. There'll be no more, let me get gross this morning. You remember anybody here? Everybody's here has had the flu, right? And you know when you're in the middle of the flu, you just want to die. And you're thinking, oh, if I could just feel good. When you're nauseous and you're throwing up and you get all the stuff we're not going to talk about. You're like, oh, man, this is the worst. I just give anything to feel better. There'll be no more of that ever in heaven. There'll be no more disease or no more separation. There'll be no autism. There'll be no high blood pressure. There'll be no hate or racism. There'll be no more disappointment, which is be great for you Purdue fans. I can't say Cubs anymore, so. Revelation 21:4 says this. It says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. I read that verse and I just get joy. There'll never again be death or sorrow or crying or pain. Let me tell you, first service, Carl and I cried a little bit. But there'll be no more crying in heaven. There'll be no more sadness. All those things will be gone forever. Man, I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus this morning, there's not a thing in this world that's worth taking a chance of missing heaven for. Don't take a chance. Heaven is going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. Women, you'll no longer be grossed out by your husband's back hair. Men, your wife will never again have a mustache. Should I stop? I'm going to keep going. It's my last day. My kids will never again have to sit through me putting on the child locks in the car and ripping the worst fart ever and thinking it's hilarious. There'll be no more anything bad like that. There'll be no bad breath. There'll be no more BO. There'll be no more wrinkles. Dan will have hair. I'll be thin again. Because we'll have perfect bodies. And you know what? If you're here today and you have something wrong with your body, or you have a disease, or you've gotten a bad diagnosis, or you can't walk well or walk at all, or you can't see or you can't hear, one day you'll have a perfect body for all of forever. And you will run and you will see and you will just have joy. And all the trouble you've experienced on this earth, God will give you double for your trouble. If you're here this morning and you have one of those pill cases labeled Monday through Sunday, you won't have to do that anymore. Praise God. Remember as a kid, my grandparents had those, and it was just always the funniest thing. And I talk with my brother, my cousin. I'm like, I wonder why Grandma never like mixes the pills up just to be funny. Well, because Grandpa would have probably died. That's how a kid thinks, though. I'm like, why not swoop them around a little bit? You know, I live in Hoopston, so heaven, there, everything will be perfect. All the sorrow, the pain, the annoyances, listen, I live in Hoopston. In heaven, I will never again have to experience getting to a stop sign, somebody being there 5 seconds before me, and then them flipping me off when I don't go ahead of them. Never again. That happens all the time. If you get there first, just go. Don't wave them on. There's an order of things that there should be. But heaven's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. All the illness, all the sickness, all the sorrow, all that stuff will be gone forever. All these things will be gone forever. That should bring you joy. Second thing about heaven this morning. Imagine worship and inspiration. I know we get to worship in here sometimes, and it's wonderful, and God inhabits the praises of His people, but I'm telling you, you can't even begin to fathom what worship in heaven is going to be like. It's going to be incredible. Revelation 4:10 says that the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and they exist because You created what You pleased. And I'm not going to sit here and say I know what the logistics of worship will be in heaven for all of eternity, but if worshiping God and worshiping Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Lamb who sits on the throne, doesn't excite you, you might want to examine this morning where your relationship and your heart are at. Because Jesus is worthy of every breath I have. He has forgiven me. He has saved me. He has given me grace. He has given me life. The universe exists because of Him, the Bible says. And yet, we praise the things that are made instead of the one who made them. We put all of our energy into our relationships and our kids and our parents and our money and our jobs and our pleasure and our own lives and our own emotions. And we let all these things be idols and we worship them. And it's like, no, God is the one who's worthy of praise. Jesus is the one who died for your sins. He's the one who made heaven available to you. When you go to heaven, heaven will be a place where we will stand in awe of the one who paid it all, and we will worship and be in awe of Jesus who made heaven available to us. Or we probably won't even be able to stand. All the angels in heaven will be singing, Jesus is worthy. It'll be unimaginable. I can't imagine. We'll be together forever. Which is our third point. When you think of heaven, imagine reuniting with loved ones. Imagine reuniting with loved ones, ones who have went before in the Lord, who knew Jesus. We will be able to reunite with loved ones. Revelation 7 says, after this I saw a vast crowd too great to count from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And again, that's logistics. What's it going to look like? And are we going to be in the, what's the robes? Listen, you're going to be with Jesus. And you're going to be with loved ones who have went before. There's a couple people I really miss. And I will miss, as we are called away, a lot of you guys. But I want to tell you, just keep running your race. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay faithful to Jesus. Stay faithful to His church. When you think of heaven, imagine reuniting with loved ones. Will we recognize each other in heaven? I have no doubt that we will. I have no doubt that we will. Think of the thief on the cross, and Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise today. Think of Elijah and Moses during the transfiguration. The disciples recognized them, didn't they? We will recognize each other, yes. The Bible calls heaven home. And home, you think about home, where's home? Home is where your loved ones are. I was sharing with someone this morning, I joke around a lot, but over this next month or so, when Carl and the kids are going to be here and I'll be over there, I'm going to miss them. I'm going to miss coming home at night and hearing Josie and Isaiah fighting with each other and seeing Ellie on her phone and all that kind of stuff. Carl asking me what's for dinner. I'm going to miss all that. I really am. But heaven and home is where our loved ones are. That's what heaven will be like. Heaven will be about relationships. You won't miss earth, trust me. People ask me, am I going to remember this or this? No, it'll be perfect. Those things of all will have passed away. Heaven will be perfect. It's about relationships. You've heard the story of the old lady in her 90s who was sitting next to her pastor in the pew one Sunday and looked at him and said, boy, I hope I die soon, because if I don't get to heaven pretty quick, all my friends are going to think I didn't make it. Heaven will be about relationships. Number four, when you think about heaven, imagine rewards and honor. Now, we can't earn our way to heaven, but imagine rewards and honor. We can't earn it. God's grace is free. God's grace is a gift. But in Matthew, Jesus tells us, Jesus says, the Son of Man will come with His angels in the glory of His Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. See, as a believer, I'm already saved, but I still get to choose how I take the talents and the resources and the time that God has given me and how I use those. Do I leverage those for my own good, or do I leverage them for the good of the kingdom and in the good of following Jesus as my Lord and Savior and loving and serving other people? Or do I make life about me and say, well, I'm saved. I'm fine. I don't really need to do much. I don't need to come to church or give or be a part or forgive people or put myself out for anybody. No, Jesus says that as believers, we'll be judged according to our works. And the reason that I say imagine rewards and honor is because the Lord will honor the treasures that we've stored up in heaven. For example, do I deserve the same honor in glory in when heaven comes? Will I deserve the same reward as a missionary who maybe went halfway across the world and was martyred and killed for their faith? No, they gave up more than I did. I don't believe I deserve that type of honor, if you will. Heaven is a place where God will honor what we've done for Him while we are here. And so I just say that to ask you this morning, are you storing up treasures in heaven? Just be real and be like, what am I doing to store up treasures in heaven? And sitting here doesn't count. If you love Jesus, you'll come, worship, be a part. What are you doing? What are you doing that is storing up treasures in heaven that one day God will say, well done, good and faithful servant, for? Because every believer should be doing that. Our fifth and final this morning, when you think of heaven, you can't even imagine. And that's really what it boils down to. As I try to imagine, now I say we can't imagine. So there we go. You know the verse in Ephesians that says this: He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And as you read that, guys, don't forget that God has given you incredible grace and kindness. And so therefore, you must show that same grace and kindness to other people. And that's what I want you as a church to keep on doing and even doing better at, is showing people grace and kindness. Being a church who loves people, who accepts people, who stands on the truth of God's word, and who lets people know that they are loved and that they matter. Because that's what the world needs to hear. We're going to a place that we can't even imagine. And while we're here, we have a job to do, and that's what it is. When you think of heaven, you can't even imagine. Keep loving people. Keep showing them grace and kindness. Because you know you get to go to heaven, and it should be your heart's desire that those around you get there as well. I believe heaven will be a place, I know it'll be a place of unimaginable beauty and travel. In Revelation, it says that heaven will have gates, that it will. But it'll be beyond our comprehension. I mean, think about the universe. There's you know, 100 and something billion galaxies and trillions of light years, and the universe, we don't even know its vastness. Now, if God created all that, man, what do you think heaven's going to be like? Can't even imagine. Heaven will be full of joy and laughter and happiness. And the greatest thing to remember about heaven is that God wants you there. Because on the flip side of heaven is an eternity of darkness and separation from God. And it's called hell in the Bible. And there's not a one of you here today, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, can't change that in an instant. There's no prerequisite other than you knowing that God loves you, that Jesus died for your sins, and you asking Him for forgiveness and giving your heart and life to Him. And so one last time, in hopes that I'm going to ask you, we're going to sing in just one moment, and we have a slideshow, and we're going to cry. But during that time, if you want to come and pray, or if you want to see me afterwards and say, you know,